see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
All right. Welcome back, y'all. Did you have lunch, brunch, or supper, or whatever you want to call it, to this Bible study tonight? My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this Bible study. Twice a day I do this, 3.5 hours a day, 5 days a week. I've been doing this now for, 5 years, I guess, now? Every day. Every day. As far as I can go. Learning myself, teaching, so I can learn. I'm not a theologian, I teach myself. Family, no human being can know all the Bible. No human being can understand the fullness of God. It is not possible. We as human beings do not have the dimensional capacity. Once God is defined, then God is dead. So that if you can define God, then maybe your God is really, really small. It won't be God of the Bible. God of the Bible, to learn all of God of the Bible, be like trying to pour the ocean into a pint cup. Teach an earthworm how to fly a lunar module. We don't have the dimensional capacity as human beings to even fathom what we don't know. Now, all that being said, how is it possible that we can have a religious debate that even makes any kind of sense? How is that even conceivable? You see, that's why God's put the debate in the scriptures in the same line of scripture as murder, fornication, debate is listed. In the same category as we're, so how come all these theologians do all this debating, man, when God's getting ready to smack them down? How is it possible? I mean, of course, it's more than this, but hypothetically, it'd be like, well, I'm going to go for a job interview with IBM. Let's say I'm some kind of some programmer of IBM, and I'm going to go for a job interview, and I go on the street and find somebody that needs some money and say, here, guy, here's 20 bucks. I got a job interview in IBM. Can you do it for me? Just go in and here's my resume and go answer the questions. It's the same thing, worse than that even. Really, it is. But nobody can debate God's word. It's impossible to debate God's word when the most intelligent, 200 IQ, don't care, of Harvard, theologian, I don't know, just pick one of any century or whatever. He doesn't have the dimensional capacity to debate God. It's impossible. And yet, people do. All we can do is say what the scriptures say and stop there. What's already written. And then, we always get something different every time we read it because we never get the fullness of the scriptures. Our minds couldn't take it all. And the scriptures aren't complete. You know why they're not complete? Because there's things in there we would not even understand. Remember what he said to Daniel, shut up this book. Because back then, the scriptures were for the future. They would not have a clue what if Daniel explained it all from what he saw, or John, what he saw. There's no way. It's the same thing for today. We don't either. So how do we debate God's word? How can someone on the street, you pay them to do your job interview, answer questions about COBOL or programmer? What, they still do COBOL? I don't know. Anyway, brief your resume to someone to get a job and say, well, you didn't get the job. You know, it's no way possible. We can debate God's word. Nobody can. Satan doesn't even have dimensional capacity to understand God fully. No way. If he did, he never rebelled in the first place. How about that? If he did, he'd never influence the crowd to reject Jesus or put him up on the cross. Putting Jesus on the cross was his undoing. He didn't know the future. In every case, he tried to kill at that moment before the flood. In every case, he tried to erect a tower to bring in the fallen angels in Nimrod. He destroyed it. God did. In every case, Herod was going to kill Jesus. Didn't do it. In every case, Moses escaped. In every case, God is always ahead. He saved all those that he wanted to. And those that he, from our perspective as human beings, didn't save were for a reason. Because he brought them home. The Christians caused a conversion in the Colosseum. So they had to stop, well, some years, decades after Constantine, but they finally stopped the massacres and but that helped bring in Roman Catholic Church to its fullness to be used later. It's all part of the plan. The free will. It's quite an amazing story when you look at it from the perspective of knowing how the supernatural, the Hegelian dialectic, and what we've been talking about for those who've been following me for years. There's always something new. Something comes out of the old. Something new pops in there to show you how it fits. You know why that is? Because I just learned it. And so I set the groundwork, and then I place in the new piece of the puzzle. Because why? I just learned it. That's why. I want to pass it on. It's that simple. You'll never get the fullness of this agenda. And you know, about the time you say, you know, by George, I think I've got it. That's when the rapture will happen. Or that's when we're in the tribulation. It won't matter anyway. And it won't matter anyway. You see, because now you say, oh, gosh, all that, and we're already in the tribulation. Everything changes. How about that? Everything changes. Now you know sort of where you are. You know that 7 years from that peace covenant, you know about the year that Jesus is coming, but you don't know the day of the hour. But you know 7 years from, say, 2014, well, that's this year, 2016, let's say. We have our crisis, whatever it is. We almost go to a World War III, that they call it World War III, where we're getting ready to destroy each other and all that drama that they'll conjure up. Here comes disclosure, Sanand Emanuel and the Antichrist, the real one, to bring peace and solve all our problems. And those that are here will say, whoops, we are in it now. Look, peace and prosperity is here. Celebrate. And you're going to say, buckle up, baby, because it's coming down the pike. Oh, you're just so negative. And you say, peace and safety. And then comes sudden destruction. And it ain't nothing but ugly from the second seal on. But you can count, hypothetically, 2016, add 7 years, 2023, or whatever it is. That year, you know, this is the year Jesus is coming. Oh, yeah. They always say that. But you know it is because you know the signs of the times. But you don't know the day of the hour. Jesus coming, 2023. Yeah, sure. But see, you know the first seal. The second seal, World War. Between Islam and political Zionism, the red horse will ride. And you know the black horse. Then you know the pale horse, the green horse, whatever. Pestilence and famine follows World War. Islam, political Zionism. And those that love Jesus will stay with Jesus, will die. Some martyrs. But you know where your soul's going. Your body go to rest for a period of time. But then, you know your soul will match up with it later at the judgment seat of Christ. Souls on the altar, the fifth seal. And after all this math, mayhem, helter-skelter, the sixth seal will be broken before that 3.5 years. Then comes a great earthquake, of which this world has never seen before. Then will come the two witnesses. Then will come the 144,000. And then the sun will lose its light and the moon will turn as blood. And you're heading toward the seventh seal. Silence in heaven. Of the greatness of God's wrath upon this earth. And the Antichrist will say, I am God. And he'll be in Jerusalem. Big mistake. He doesn't have discernment nor wisdom. He'll think that he's achieved what he has achieved. But then somewhere there'll be a trumpet blow. And boy, let me tell you something. God's wrath. Every death of children, his son, everything is going to come down on this earth like it's never seen in the history of mankind. From the first trumpet to the seventh. God is going to hammer this earth like a ball peen hammer on a fly. You're not going to have technology here. It won't be technology. First, second, third, fourth. You have the three woes. And the two witnesses will terrorize, torment all those left, which will be transhumanized beings and those that followed Satan and the Antichrist, and they will not have a fun time. It's going to be awful ugly. It'll be a period of time of 5 months. They can't even die. They want to die so bad, but it won't be. God's not messing around. He won't even let them die. They'll try to commit suicide, and they won't be able to even die. Then finally, the seventh trumpet sounds, and it's just going to, he's just getting warmed up. Then comes the seven bowls. Family, do y'all understand how much wrath of God's coming down? Seven trumpets, seven bowls of judgment. And these, you know, really these half-baked, oh man, I shouldn't say all this. I know, but your Bagleys and all these guys, for goodness sakes, they come ranting and raving about dead fish, dead birds, dead cows. A lake over here is red. A stream over here turned red because of something is pathetic. They have no idea about the wrath of God that's coming down. It's not going to be some little silly lake turned red somewhere that you don't even know where the name of the place is. This is so surreal to even for them to call themselves theologists. My mind don't register that. They're not reading the Bible at all. They minimize God's wrath upon this earth. They don't know. When he unleashes, it's going to be every square inch of this earth won't be left untouched. And that seventh bowl, that's Armageddon. The real Armageddon. When Jesus will leave where he is on the right hand side of the Father, he'll leave there, come through the second heaven, and it'll be cleaned out by Michael and the archangels. And in mid-tribulation, it'll be cleaned out. All the demons from hell, demons from second heaven, fallen angels will not be there. They're getting away. And he's going to go through portals or whatever you want to call it, second heaven to earth. And we'll see him in his glory. It won't be a silly UFO. He won't be carrying some lightsaber neither. Bronze skin. Wool, hair like wool, with a kind smile and a kind eyes, but he'll rule with a rod of iron. But benevolent, not malevolent like the Antichrist will have ruled. Family, there's a lot coming down, a lot going around. We're not even scratched the surface. Not at all, man. It's not even close. So look back at all this so-called prophecy. We have four blood moons, and they got to try something, I don't know what. It's not even worth wasting your money on. Everybody's trying to calculate the rapture and trying to calculate the this, that, and the other and the time period. When you really sit back and look at it, it's like pathetic. We haven't seen supernatural yet. You don't see supernatural? High-level Freemasons, Wicca, Satanists. You know why they see supernatural? Because Satan uses his, from a supernatural point of view, his weak attempt at supernatural wonders to mesmerize his followers. See there how powerful I am. I can show you how to do it, he says. Well, actually, what they are is dwell with a demon that's doing it for him. And they say, look how powerful I am. I can make an energy ball here, move around. Whoa. I can do this, do that. I can look ahead. I can remote view. Man, that's nothing. And it's not them anyway. It's a demon inside them that's doing it. And that demon's going to turn on them. They don't know that yet. God's not going to, he doesn't, it talks about faith. Blessed he who has not seen and yet believe. What do you think that means? And yet Satan does the opposite. You can see, now you believe. See what I can do? I can give you? See what I can give you? You want more of it? Well, that's a lie. That's what's going on today. One Freemason I know of didn't tell me, but told a friend of mine and said, you see this ring? Mason's ring. This is my ticket to heaven. Woo-hoo, I got news for you. That ring's going to get hot in the fire. Ain't going to get you to heaven by no stretch of imagination. That's why they do these good deeds. That's why Oprah does all the quote-unquote good deeds. That's why, unfortunately, you read about this great tip of $30,000 or all this stuff. That's people trying to buy their way into heaven. They get that conviction. They say, well, I better do something. I have this conviction. And they go about the wrong way. Of course, you can't know everybody's heart, but you see the fruits that they don't give glory to God. Look what I did. Look what I gave this person so they get their education. Look what I did. I bought them a house for them. Look what I did. Look what I did. No. Well, you didn't. Give God the glory, not ourselves. Always God the glory. Not of which ourselves at all. God gets all the glory. Because he's the one that started all. He's the one that caused us through. And he's the one that died for us. And he's the one coming back. He created everything. Let's dedicate the broadcast. And let's talk tonight about the duties of the watchman. Who is a watchman? What is a watchman? And the mercies of God. And we'll see where we are from there. On our way to Friday, I just go with the flow. Let God lead. Today, don't forget, on my website, watchmanforjesus.com, I did a show this morning. I was a guest on the program. I talked about HPV vaccine. You know, in the meantime, we still have life to live. To fight Satan, you got to know what is going on, what to do, what not to do. My people perish for lack of knowledge. This could go on another 10 years. We don't know. Jesus in the Morning, online radio by Freedom Doors Ministry, Jesus in the Morning. It's on my website now. I've got it uploaded, download, whatever you want to call it. It's loaded there. One of the loaded numbers. And I've got it identified specifically. And you do what you want to with it. Put it out if you'd like. But it talks about HPV, the silent killer, and method of depopulation. I'm not real good at mincing words. So, Lord, we come before you tonight in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to have a Bible study with our network. We thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. And, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wisdom you've given us, the discernment you've given us. We thank you for the salvation that's offered us. Lord, help our families, help those of loved ones, Father, to deal with the future, to deal with loss of loved ones. We thank you, Father, give us that appreciation for those healed, to show us how to, Father, get along with that, and to be humble, to give us the courage, the strength, the endurance, to learn your word, to stay with it, to fast, to pray. Lord, and give us that knowledge that, Father, to prepare us for these end times events coming up. Lord, we pray for our brethren. We pray for healing in our families. We pray for, Lord, those people down in Florida and those out in the West where the fires that are going on now, the torment that's being caused by and destruction caused by these Illuminati, by these end of, these these evil ones, that's, Father, that's starting all these fires, causing all this flood and all this, Lord. That we know that's to open the portals, and, Father, we call upon you to shut them down. If that be your will, that, Lord, we know the time's end coming. We're getting closer to it. To keep us strong, Lord, in the faith, and guide us along. We pray for the returning servicemen, the veterans, to be protected, Lord, and we pray for children that are being sought after for abduction and kidnapping for these sacrifices that they're doing. Lord, we call upon you to bring the wisdom and discernment down to those that don't have that wisdom and discernment. Lord, you'll wake them up, that the word of God will be spread, and to bring out of her the church, Lord, to spread your gospel. My Father, tonight, lead us in this Bible study tonight and guide us throughout this week. We pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Forgive others of something we think we deserve to hold a grudge for. I've read where a man forgave the man who killed his wife and daughter. He forgave him. I've read in places where they said, I'll never forgive you for killing us or whatever. It's easy said, too. It's not easy done. There's people still hold grudges from 20-year class reunions. But you got to forgive. And the worst part, especially for the veterans coming back, is for them to forgive themselves for what they were made to do over there by design. To kill innocents that they... The commanders knew what they were doing. The idea was to increase the post-traumatic stress by going against the training. This was designed. How do I say that? But I know there was an effort. I was a Marine captain 12 years and commander in infantry, recruiting, and I was in recruit training. I did it all. And I know how they're trained. You don't kill innocents. Geneva Convention and all that stuff. But I know that they were given 4-day passes at one time. Was offered. We give you a 4-day, 3-day or 4-day pass, whatever. Say a 3-day pass. If you'll kill a soldier... If you kill one of the terrorists, and it's confirmed with a knife, if you kill him with a knife, we'll give you a 3-day pass. I know that happened. Now, that's unheard of. Kill one with a knife? Yeah, when you run out of bullets and you have nothing else, yeah, you turn right. But to give him a 3-day pass specifically with a knife, that makes no sense to my mind at all. I know that if I was a commander over there, there's no way I'd even pass that word. Specifically for that reason, no. So I'm thinking, why would they do that? It didn't take me long to figure. That was to, see, that's up close and personal. That enhances post-traumatic stress. When you realize what it takes to take a knife, a K-bar, and stab it at somebody's body is personal, say the very least. Or cut the throat, or whatever it is, it is going to enhance, exacerbate post-traumatic stress. That's the only purpose for it. There's no other. So then I sort of opened my eyes to say, wow, there's something going on over there that's not quite right. And so that's what led me, not only that part, but other parts led me to understand that the idea was to enhance and to exacerbate post-traumatic stress, add to it the pills and all that, and to do what they're doing now to enhance the suicides. That's total evil. That's cowardly on the commander's part. Well, anyway, tonight the Watchman talking about what is a watchman? When you're called to be a watchman, what's the watchman's duties? It's important. Don't confuse being a watchman with an apostle or a disciple or a prophet. Ezekiel 33, again the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Ezekiel, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, that whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, taketh not the warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, he took no warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but the blood will I require at the watchman's hand. In other words, not only does he want to spread the commission, the great commission of the gospel, but we're given warnings of what's coming. Man, you don't have a choice. You got to sound the trumpet in whatever way he gives you to sound it. You can't be squeamish. You can't be silent. You can't just say, well, I better not make a, oh, no, I can't say that. I got to be politically correct here. Because you'll have the opportunity. He'll put you there somehow. So thou, O son of man, I've set thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of thy mouth and warn them from me. And I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to the warn the wicked of his ways. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I acquire at thine hand. If they're given warning, they have an opportunity to repent. If they're not told about it coming, and they're sinners, and you know about it, and you're quiet, they'll die, they'll go to hell, but you're going to catch it from God. I don't know how what that means exactly supernaturally, but I guarantee you, you're going to feel it. You're going to find out. You'll be blamed for it, because you were quiet, and you didn't sound the alarm and warn them. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that's what most of the preachers today do. God's going to hammer them, let me tell you, like a 10-penny nail with a ball-peen hammer, straight down to a bucket of sand. These preachers are going to get hammered bad, because they know what's coming. And they're not saying a word about Armageddon, they're not saying a word about repentance. Maybe some offside church somewhere along the way. But these mega churches, is he going to hammer these guys? Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his own way, his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt deliver thy soul. Talking to the watchman. Therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for thou will ye die, O house of Israel. Now that's a warning to Israel today. That's a warning to all today. See, he wants to give them an opportunity during that tribulation period to turn away, and even before then. But a lot of them, alas, are going to blame God. When actually, the reason, as I've said before, he's making it last longer, is because he wants them to turn from their wicked ways. He did it in the flood. Of course, it was all wicked by that time, toward the end. Sodom and Gomorrah. All through the Bible, he gives people opportunity. Knowing that they're going to turn down, but he gives them the opportunity anyway. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of Israel, thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him unto the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for the righteousness in the day that he sins. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness, commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity he hath committed, he shall die for it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter heaven. See, that's where it kind of comes together. And they think they're doing the right thing, but what's going on, by their healing, by their prophecy, they're not getting that power from God, they're getting it from Satan. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live and he shall not die. When we're talking about dying here, we're talking about the second death, separation from God. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, and he shall surely live. See, you won't remember your sins after that. Satan does what? He accuses you. God don't. Yet when you don't repent, the Holy Spirit will convict you of that sin. He reminds you of it. A debt left unpaid. It's through the conviction. Renounce it. Repent. Debt's paid. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from the righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. Oof. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. But, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal, O ye house of Israel. I will judge you every one after his ways. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came to me, saying, the city is smitten. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, and before he had escaped came, he had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, they that inhabit these wastes of lands of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, he inherited the land, but we are many, the land is given us for inheritance. So primarily the Ezekiel 33, using Israel at the time, Old Testament, applies to us today. For the watchman. It's serious business. In Isaiah 62, for Zion's sake will I not hold thy peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be more termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delights in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. As thy bridegroom rejoice over the bride, thou shalt thy God rejoice over thee, as we are the bride of the bridegroom, is Jesus. I set a watchman upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace. Day nor night, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of the strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to the meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for which thou hast labored. But they that gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, that they have brought it together, shall drink in the courts of thy holiness. So, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up the standard for thy people. And behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt be called out, sought out, a city not forsaken. Isaiah 62, King James Bible. God's pretty stern on that. He's pretty stern about being a watchman. It's serious business. It's not to play with. Now, I kind of look back. At the three, ministries that I've had over the past 5 years. None of them were connected. They just happened. I didn't say, I'm going to have three ministries. And the first one's going to be called this. The second one's going to be called that. And the third one, that's not at all what happened. So now to look back on it, I was really hot into the New World Order, Illuminati and Freemasonry and all this stuff, all that. It was all about the first 2-3 years, now I recall, and I called it the New World Order fighter. And that was my website and all this stuff going on. New World Order Fighters at Liberty Broadcasting something or another. And then, of course, some things happened there, as people who know me know. And of course, I lost my website because of, whatever. So, I left LBN. Kind of interesting way of leaving. I came like within 3 to 5 days of the micro effect. I need a name for your program, Tom. I had, 3-hour program coming, and I said, Watchmen Chronicles. So really, it's kind of like no more New World Order fighters. I didn't connect the two. I didn't say, I've been called that then, I'm going to call this now. Watchmen Chronicles. I just threw it out. There you go. Just put it up, whatever. I didn't incorporate, didn't do none of that stuff. Just give them the name, put it up, and let's go with it. Just give me a name. Watchmen Chronicles. You know what happened there? This one also wasn't connected per se. Happened in austere conditions to lose the last one. As everybody knows the situation there. I thought, why am I going to call myself now? oh, watchmen for Jesus. So you see, there's a transition from secular to straight to Jesus. More influence. It's like as God did. I don't know. Huh. It's kind of like it's all set up. I don't know. Who knows? But either way, it's a watchman. I take it serious. Ezekiel 33, Isaiah 62. The prophet Ezekiel was called to be a watchman by God over his people in Israel. When many consider that position of watchman, they assume it to be someone who's sent there to care for the needs of the people, watch over them, pray for their needs, and tend to them as a shepherd who tends the flock. I have a hard time tending my own flock. I do the best I can. But the position of a watchman is far more than just this. For not only does it require a heart of love for people, kind of comes to mind, you do got to care about people. Otherwise, you would say, well, I don't care if they know or not. Not my problem, man. But the Father also requires boldness and diligence and fearlessness and dedication and obedience to God, the Father, God Jehovah, not the God Yahweh, but God Jehovah that's in the Bible. Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards, by the way, in the Tetragrammaton. It's real tricky how they do that. Jehovah, or is Jesus, is Son of God. Requires all that of the ability to hear the voice of the Lord in the heart and discernment and wisdom. In the times of the Bible, in the past, the physical watchman was one who stood there guarding the city wall, literally, upon sensing or seeing any kind of danger or some kind of threat in or out of the walls. He would sound an alarm to warn the people in advance of what lied ahead of it. So the prophet Ezekiel was called by God to be a spiritual watchman, and that over the people like a physical watchman. He had to warn the people in advance of any impending danger. So, looking at it from that perspective, strategically, and that within the body of Christ. The Lord God placed spiritual watchmen over his people, like the watchman Ezekiel. Some are called by God to warn the people of coming judgments. Would not John the Baptist be one? Would not Jeremiah be one? To warn them of the importance of repentance, the hidden dangers that lurk outside as well as inside the body of Christ. They're called to speak forth the truth in capital letters without compromise, and to have no fear of what man may think or attempt to do to him. That you're ready to die if you have to. Ridicule, be ridiculed if you have to, or be alone the rest of your life if you have to, or whatever it may take. You got to know them as some say, messengers of God or prophets of God. As for myself, I have no idea. I just know what I know, and I'm on the broadcast, and I just talk on the radio, and I do the best I can to tell the truth. I don't know what I want to call myself. Let me see my driver's license. I'll tell you in a minute. Oh, okay. Tom Gamble. All right. That's all I see. But I do know a lot about what's going on. but so is a lot of other people, too, that have studied and researched. But nonetheless, the requirements to fill the position are all that isn't the same. And you know, you all are watchmen. No one can call ourselves a position of a spiritual watchman, as it's the Lord God's call, His choice, for He knows the heart of every man and every woman. He knows in advance just how far they're going to go to please Him. He knows the weaknesses and the strength and faithfulness and unfaithfulness. He knows the willingness and unwillingness of every individual. And it's said that the least likely person whom you may judge as incapable or outwardly weak, he'll be the one the Lord will choose, as He knows their inward capability, their strength, and the faithfulness of their heart towards Him. How about Paul? He had 12 books in the Bible, maybe 13 if you count Hebrews. He helped the clothing for them to stone Stephen. How about his choice of disciples? How about Judas, knowing very well what Judas would do? That's amazing stuff, isn't it? There's many within the body of Christ who've been called to be a watchman. And it's not easy calling, let me tell you, because it's not glamorous, as some people may think, or it's a very serious position of which you can't take lightly. It has very serious consequences if you're disobedient. You can't get all high and mighty and say, I'm a watchman, and listen, what it doesn't work that way. Wear a purple robe or call myself bishop or I'm Disciple Gamble. Yeah, okay. No, none of that. A watchman called to the Lord will, you're going to face ridicule, persecution. You're going to be mocked, shamefully mistreated by ones that are you're called to watch over. Some of you have experienced this already. Many will despise the speech, seeing it as a curse rather than a warning. Don't give me that negative stuff. I don't hear it. Well, it's not negative. It's what's coming. How do you know that? Well, I can read right here. It says right there. I can read. Can you read? You can read, right? Yeah. Well, there you go. Some will close their ears to the truth. However, he or she must have boldness and fearlessness. And this is when declaring that the Lord has spoken, for the very reason that for such a one to choose to be silent. And also not declare the warning of the Lord to the people when you sense the oncoming dangers or knowing of the seemingly hidden dangers, they will suffer the consequences of the action of disobedience. If you find yourself to be a watchman and you want to partake of the sins as well, you're going to lose it. You're not going to be able to talk or speak. You won't have that feel. As Michael Hoggett says, you won't have the heebie-jeebies. You won't have the doodads. There, yeah, the doodads go up and down your spine. You'll start clamoring for the words. You'll start, you know, that kind of thing. The Lord declares His word to the prophet Ezekiel. Third chapter, verse 18, it says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaks to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So, there, a man or woman of God who refuses to speak the truth, and that to one who's bound by sin, allowing such a one to remain in sin, which will lead to spiritual death, as I said, they'll be held accountable for the death of that sinner. That's heavy. Now, don't you know, when you're a Freemason, you're taking the blood oath to lie, and you start telling the lies, you're going to be convicted. Then you got to do something to get away that conviction. Man, they're tortured. But being a watchman, it's a harsh price to pay to remain silent sometimes, because it would behoove the watchman to adhere to the voice of the Lord and speak the word of which he's given out of love for the ones in error, out of love and obedience to the Father. Afterwards, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear. So, the importance is to be obedient, and be obedient to what the Lord has asked us. Speak forth his truth. Don't you want to sometimes say to those who have ears, hear, do hear, please hear. But who've been commanded by the Lord to declare his warnings upon the people the judgment, is that what that awaits to them, should they refuse, repent, and continue in sin? What does that mean to you? That you're to tell them that their actions right now is going to lead them to hell. Is that what Joel Osteen says on his interview, or Billy Graham? No. That's completely against what they were doing before, as against the Bible, not to tell them of the sin they're committing can send them to hell. If you remain silent and utter not a word of warning to your brother or sister, if you withhold the truth and such die in their sins, you will be responsible for a spiritual death. It is the will of the Father that the warnings go forth, that his children may be led to repentance. Are they preaching repentance today? No. Maybe some small churches scattered throughout? Maybe. For the majority? No. Those called to be a watchman must speak forth all that the Lord commands us to speak, even if it puts you also under conviction. You can't say, well, I can't talk about that because I kind of like lusting, so I can't talk about that. That's going to... No, you have to anyway. You have no choice. If you've lusted, committed adultery with your eyes, and you start talking about Matthew and about lust is the same thing as committing adultery, you got to talk about it whether you like it or not. Always going to put you under conviction. It should. But you can't just avoid it. I know that there's some Freemasons that have told the preacher not to preach on certain sins. Is that telltale or what? Yeah, came up to the preacher and said, preacher, you know, you're doing a good job and all this and all that, but, you know, there's this, that, and the other you don't need to be talking about. You know, you can... I kid you not. I'm not exaggerating. Why? Because it puts them under conviction. The Lord's amazing, isn't he? The love of the Father is incomprehensible. A lot of people can't see the love, that it's quite visible. For it's because of his love for us that the warnings are set forth, that the wicked may turn from the wickedness. That's why he's letting this go on and on for a little time, but sometimes he's going to pull the plug. Because of his love, the warnings are set forth that the wicked may turn from the wickedness. That's why I personally don't believe in a pre-trib anymore. Because if, say, the Church of God, the actual church, the ones, not any religion or four walls, but those who follow Jesus Christ are pulled out before the tribulation, who's going to witness to those in the first 2, 3, 4, 5 seals? Who? You're not appointed to wrath, so that means you're taken out before the first trumpet. So you're not post-trib either. Kind of in the middle there. Because then, after the first trumpet, you've got the two witnesses, and it's nothing but judgment, man. The wrath of God. You're not appointed to wrath. So the church is removed at some point there, you know. But certainly not pre-trib. You watch out for a fake pre-trib. If LaHaye wrote it, Harold Lindsay supports it, wouldn't that not cause the falling away if there's a fake pre-trib rapture? and everybody follows it and says, oh my gosh, I've been left behind. Oh, this is Sananda Manuel. This is, oh no, the New Age is real. We've been lied to. Don't you know that's going to cause a falling away? Whoo-hoo. Even the very elect, if that were possible. Oh. If there were no love involved, then they would remain silent and command silence of his watchmen, allowing the people to perish. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Because of his love, the warnings are set forth that the wicked may turn from their wickedness. Oh, I just thought of something. And the unrighteousness from their sin. It just dawned on me something here. I want to talk tomorrow about why the Illuminati must tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Oh my goodness. Slam dunk. God requires them to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Right there is the answer. As we say back home, I'll be a hoot and a holler. I just realized that. Right there it is. That's the main reason. Let me bask in this epiphany for a while. I can't bask into it too far because I'd have dead time, wouldn't I? This is like a major epiphany here. That's why there's other reasons why they do it and all that, but this is the number one reason that they're required to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. They try to mitigate it in certain ways to downplay it because this is God's requirement of them. They try to say, okay, we got to do this, but let's mitigate it to try to dissuade them. Even though we got to do it, let's find some way to downplay it so they don't take it too serious and they won't be prepared. That's why this is the number one reason. The Lord be with you this day. He says pretty much, I love you all so very much. Have a blessed week. Life, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, who alone is worthy of the glory and the praise. Watchmen, arise. Man, we're there. It's arrival, the 21st century. Comes with a general feeling that we as the church are in the final hours of history before the coming of the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. A watchman is someone who committed to being alert and awake and ever ready to warn of approaching danger. Now you sort of got an idea about who the watchman is. You know, we're not under the threat of a physical invasion today. Let me tell you something. Hold on now. Hold on. Don't go rushing off yet. But we're not under the threat of physical invasion. We're not living in literal walled fortresses. Family, for that matter, Satan and his workers seek to destroy and lay siege to this church through false teaching and ungodly philosophies. But beyond that, we've already been invaded. German, Bulgarian, Islamic terrorists, Iranians, Egyptians, Russians, Chinese, family, they're already here. They're already inside. They're not going to hit the East Coast and West Coast and up through Mexico and invasion and all that. Man, they're already here since the 1990s, thanks to our own Luciferian government working with I'm not going to go into that now, but they're already here. They're already put in position. Satan is prince of this world. He works with all the governments together. You see what's going on? how we've been lied to all along, how Satan is deceiving. You got people saying, over my dead body, they'll come up through Mexico. We're here in Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. We're going to drive them back. No, you're not, because they're already inside. They're already here. You know, you're going to be looking at Mexico, and they're going to be coming behind you, side of you, and around you. We're going down, man. We turned away from God a long time ago. So in summary, God appointed his ministry to Ezekiel of the watchman, and watchman position contains a heavy accountability. And obedience is mandatory. And the watchman is called to warn both the wicked and the righteous. That means that watchman better walk a straight and narrow. And when on your trek, certain situations, you got to be willing to confront false teachers with a holy boldness. But sadly, you must still stand poised to blow that trumpet on false teaching that will lead others astray if not detected, corrected, halted by application of God's word. That's important to know. In short, the enemy's sword is still drawing blood, and we need to warn of its coming. And that's the false teaching in the churches today. Even Jeremiah 6:16-17. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old pass where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. See, in this Jeremiah was dealing, or God was addressing a rebellious Jerusalem through his weeping prophet Jeremiah. In the Old Testament, just abounds with God's patience and going after his wayward people. God himself set watchmen over the people, but in this part of Jeremiah, there's a clear example of what happens when they don't listen. God explains in verses that follow that the great calamity will be brought upon the people because they wouldn't heed the Lord speaking through his watchmen. In all examples of this ministry in the Bible, there's a great emphasis on the urgency to listen when the watchman warns, but people don't. Some might, you might get some. There was one that talked about this, and he died for it. You know who that was? In modern day, you know who that was?
And God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. Though the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with it, administration, that's their business. But I'm afraid tonight that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
And you know that Martin Luther King also said, we must face the appalling fact that we have been betrayed by both the Democratic and Republican parties. He knew. That's why the Pentagon murdered Martin Luther King. JFK. Bobby Kennedy. And Malcolm X. People better wake up. They've been warned and warned over and over. The true watchman does just that, doesn't let the danger of sin go undealt with, and sin and wickedness are barriers to true worship of God and right relationship. Watchmen of the New Testament today, not much has changed. You still have a burden ahead of you. Pastors and church leaders are supposed to be watchmen. He's gotten to the church, corrupted it with the emerging church. The point of watchmen needed in churches today, some of the reasons for the sorry spiritual state of many churches and the tendency of many to unquestionably embrace false teachings, false Bibles, is due to the fact that the actual pastors of these churches haven't taken seriously the call to be a watchman. There's a need to sound the alarm and take stands that churchgoers may label controversial or too radical. Instead of listening, they just fire them or warn them through their Freemasons. Attendance may decrease in the church where the pastor doesn't accept new false revivalist concepts or third wave teachings, or they let Christian comedians come in and tell jokes. Whatever else, or have some yoga, Christian yoga classes. Or they teach Harry Potter. Oh yeah. Nothing should deter the shepherd from welding the staff against the wolves, sounding needful wake-up calls to his people, because their spiritual safety depends on it. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But in order for you to be a watchman in the fullest way, you have to have the guidance and direction and empowerment from the Holy Spirit and wisdom from heaven. We also have a better than slight working knowledge of God's word that you don't get in schools of theology. Yeah, about that, you don't. It's precisely what Paul told Timothy in the earliest verses of chapter 4. Be a watchman, Timothy. This is the holy calling. You know, that kind of teaching is all through the pastoral epistles of Paul. So, therefore, it can only conclude that a pastor and even a church leaders should be diligent watchmen and good stewards of their office. And you can't do that and be a Christian and a Freemason at the same time. It's not possible. It's impossible. And the entire letter of Jude is a watchman's warning, clearly identifying as false teachers, crying out to the church people like you and I to arms of a special note. Look at verse 3. Beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary You know, that particular construct is used about 18 times in the New Testament. Fight hard in the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jesus didn't shy away from them. You got to be alert and awake today and give a distinct alarm. See that false teaching comes into the churches. About that false teaching that comes in there. You got to be specific in dealing with men and women who seek to introduce you and instruct you in non-biblical techniques and ideas. Have no fear identifying workers by name in order that God's people can be clearly directed to safely away from the damage these things bring. It's only by exercising the ministry that you can avoid the pitfall Satan has laid for us all in our personal walks and families and churches. It's time to wake up, speak up, and be watchmen. Jude 3, watchmen arise. That's the call. That's the calling. Y'all. Now, we're heading on the backstretch of tonight's Bible study, and I think tonight it was an important one. I wasn't quite sure how I was going to come across with this. Honestly, I just jump into things. I just do it. You know, I'm not afraid to. Sometimes I get surprised, you know. Family, it's getting there. The Spirit of God's starting to move. How to achieve the mercies of God. The first step is discovery of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. 1 John 1 verse 8. If we say that we've not sinned, we deceive ourselves. I am a sinner. I've sinned against God, against my neighbor, against my own soul. Sinned in my thoughts, my feelings, my conversation, in my actions. I've sinned at home, in my family, I've sinned in the world, in my business and pleasures. I've done these things I ought not to have done, left undone the things I ought to have done. Freely admit it. I will not cover my sins. Some have been more in number than I can even count. Some grievous beyond the possibility of calculation. And each one I've committed myself, as others have said, that they've dishonored the Heavenly Father and treated the sacrifice of the Savior upon with contempt, exercised a bad influence upon the members of my own family, upon those who've known us, known me in the world. I deserve the everlasting displeasure of God, and I see it that if I die in my sins, I shall fall in the damnation of hell. O Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. The second step is to be sorry, sorrow for sin, that you really and truly are sorry for it, not just saying the words. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18, verse 13. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. So not only do I see that I've sinned against God, as commentary goes, and I think about it as I speak it, but I'm truly sorry for the things I've done, maybe lives I've wasted and past marriages or broken friendships, or I can look at the good things, but how about the bad things I've done to repent for? Hate my evil ways and hate myself for having followed them. Grieved on account of my sins and only because they've exposed me to punishment. Not only because of that, but because they've been committed against my Heavenly Father, who's with me all the time. Committed love and cared for me. If I could only undo the past, gladly would I do so. But alas, I cannot. The sins I've committed are written down against me in the book of God's remembrance until I repent. No prayers I can offer, no tears can I shed, no lamentations that I can make, no good works I can perform will remove the terrible record. Only hope is in the forgiving mercy of Jesus Christ and His grace, who said that him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. John 6:37. The third step is then that sorrow, the third step is confession of that sin. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. Whoso confess and forsaken them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So, in commentary, not only am I sorry on account of my sins, but I freely confess and acknowledge them before God. Not to some man behind a partition. I have no excuse to make for them. It may be true that much of the evil of which I've been guilty has been done in ignorance or lust. I did not know God, nor my duty to Him, nor the greatness of the love of the Savior dying for me. I was ignorant of the evil influences which my conduct and examples were often exercised on others. But this ignorance is no real excuse, because I should have known better. I ought to have read my Bible and listened to those who would have taught me. I ought to have thought about my soul and cried to God for help. But I did not. And consequently, my mouth is closed before Him. And I do here and now confess myself before God to be a guilty sinner, without excuse, deserving His anger now and forever. Not only do I make this confession in private to God, but seeing that I've sinned in the presence of my family and the people around me, I am perfectly willing to confess my sinfulness and my sorrow on account of it, as far as I have the opportunity, before the Lord's people, before my own family, and before the world. Not having been ashamed to sin in the presence of others, I am willing to acknowledge it in their presence. Then the fourth step after confession is putting away sin. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:7. So, not only do I see myself to be a sinner and hate my sins and confess them before God and man, but I do now, by God's help, renounce and give up every one of them, whatever pleasure they may have brought me in the past, whatever earthly gain they may have promised me in the future. I do here and now, in the strength of God, put them away and promise that I will never take them back again. So after you put away your sins, the fifth step is to ask forgiveness for sin. Isaiah 1:18. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Psalms 103:3. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Through your sins, be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red with crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. So, feeling how shamefully I've rebelled against my heavenly Father and despising His love, breaking His commandments, influencing others to do the same, I do here and now on my knees submit myself to Him, humbly praying that He'll have mercy upon me, a miserable sinner, and begging Him for Christ's sake to forgive all my sins, to receive me in His favor, to make me, unworthy as I am, a member of His family. And the sixth step is consecration. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. So you promise God here and now, in his strength and with all my heart, that if he will forgive me and receive me into his favor, I will from this time engage in his faithful service as his faithful servant, promising to spend the rest of my days in doing what I can for his glory, for the extension of his kingdom, and for the salvation of those around me. And the seventh step is the time is really on track. Interesting. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is the seventh step. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. What is it they do? What is it they do? Look at the hospitals we give to. Look at the widows we help. Look at all the good deeds I did. And the blood oath I take. Don't pay attention to that. Look what all the good I do. Is that not the result of somebody getting caught? I believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, in his great mercy and love, died for me in my place, bearing my sins in his own body on the cross. Believing this, I do here and now welcome him to my heart as my Savior from hell, from sin, from the power of the devil. I accept him as Lord of my life. Here and now, devote my life to pleasing him. Jesus Christ says in the Bible, if I will come to him, he will no way cast out. Now do come to him, and with all my heart just now, as a poor and helpless, guilty sinner, seeking salvation and trusting only in his blood, I am sure that he does not reject me. I believe that it does at this very moment take me in. He forgives me now. His precious blood washes away my sins. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The punishment I ought to have endured was laid upon him. He bore it for me, and I am now forgiven. Praise the Lord, Maranatha. Jesus saves me now. When you become a child of God, the success and growth of your Christian life depends on you. We'll talk tomorrow night how to be a happy Christian. We'll speak about studying the Bible, about praying much, winning someone for Christ, to shun evil companions, join a good church if it can be found, give support to the Lord's work, and not to be discouraged. And we'll talk about Jesus Christ, the mighty God. And we're, wow, exactly on track. It wasn't planned that way, and we're right on target today. Spirit's moving, I tell you, all kinds of ways. Look for it in your lives. Changes, influences, some good, not some not so good. Some not so good is going to be tests on you. Modern Christians are unconcerned about the Bible. They better get concerned right quick. You have a hypocrisy of cold-hearted praying. Bogus Christianity without sacrifice, without martyrdom, without fanaticism. we're in a preface of some big change coming. So be it. Let's close. Lord, we thank you tonight for Bible study. We thank you tonight we all come together. Father, guide us with our nights, our lives, our prayer, our fasting. Give us courage, Lord, to do what we have to do. Guide us the right path. Bless our families. Bless our walk. Give us the discernment, wisdom for divine appointments to witness the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in Christ alone is what's found the truth. There is no other. And by their denying it, it says that they're afraid of it. If you're afraid of death, you're certainly afraid of life. Does that make sense? So y'all have a good night. And we'll see y'all tomorrow. And also remind you that John Kirkler plays our broadcasts, our Bible studies, highpointradio.net. And highpointradio.net. Also, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And up in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. And also, KBLU Radio plays our broadcast. And Blue Raven Network. And go to my website, WatchmanChronicles.com. And listen to what we talked about in the HPV vaccination, if you'd like. I got a good response from that. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, really. But, there's a lot of information there, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not a technician. But I think I got information out, stirred some people up, and to understand about this HPV vaccination is not good. You know, okay, you can find out when you go there. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And there you go. Family, have a great night. And I appreciate y'all dropping by. And, we ended up with our own network after all this. God works in mysterious ways, don't he? Family, y'all have a great night. And sleep well. Pray. And know that he's coming back. And the only one is Jesus Christ. Because in Christ alone is your solid rock. Travis Contrell. Good night. This is The Watchman signing off. Good night. God bless. Watchman signing off.